from the theme park capital of the world, bringing you the latest in theme park and pop culture news. Welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast. I'm Clint.
I'm Barry, and it was Thanksgiving, and now we're at the tail end of Thanksgiving weekend, and I ate way too much food. Shocking, I know.
Yeah, Thanksgiving has already come and passed, which is insane because that means Christmas is...
Yes, Clint will now officially acknowledge that Christmas does exist.
Yeah. Hey, everybody should be proud of me on Twitter. I've been firing off all sorts of pictures of Christmas decorations and stuff. So I told you, once Thanksgiving's over, I'm in it. So, we record this on Sunday. So today's the 25th. So we got 1 month until Christmas. So, we had Thanksgiving here at my house. Everybody was over. Good time. I think this was the first Thanksgiving, in a couple years that we were able to get everybody over here, from my dad, my mom and dad and everybody, and, both my sisters. So it was nice. It was a nice Thanksgiving. So,
yeah, bless you for doing that. 'Cause God knows I would never want to do anything like that.
Yeah. You know, we keep it really simple as far as food goes. You know, we don't get all crazy and stuff. And we cheat, and some of the stuff we buy at, 'cause you know, we always buy the Honey Baked Ham Company. We go there and we buy a ham, yeah, and we buy a couple of their sides. So we kind of cheat there. But no, we keep it pretty easy, pretty simple. We don't get extravagant with our Thanksgiving dinners. I'd love to, but you know, when we have three kids and we're trying to plan a Thanksgiving, it gets kind of crazy. So, but yeah, it was a good Thanksgiving. Everybody was over here at my house, and it was a good time. So,
Sin and I went over to her mom's house had Thanksgiving with her mom and her aunt, uncle, sister, cousins. So it was fun. And of course, you know, since she's Mexican, we get a sort of a mix of the turkey and some different more Mexican item, so it makes for a very interesting and very flavorful Thanksgiving.
I was going to say, if anything, it adds more flavor instead of
there was no mashed potatoes, which I'm totally fine with not having mashed potatoes.
Oh my God, I would die.
But there was turkey, but there was amazing pork, and I will take amazing pork any day of the week over mashed potatoes.
I gotta have my mashed potatoes. That is my bread and butter when it comes to...
I'm more of a sweet potato person, and there was sweet potatoes, so...
Yeah, we were gonna do those, but it was like... I think it came down to... My sister got added on, and... Her kid got added on in the last minute, and the only thing we weren't sure of was mashed potatoes, if we had enough of those, and we discussed doing sweet potatoes, but we just added more mashed potatoes, which again is fine with me.
Speaking of Thanksgiving, sorry, I did interrupt you.
No. Go ahead.
But we got a Thanksgiving surprise on Thanksgiving Day. Is out of nowhere, Disney dropped a Lion King teaser trailer.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that first. We're going to plow through some trailers. We have some more Christmas stuff to talk about. Barry's going to talk about Universal Orlando, the holidays there. I went to Christmastown at Busch Gardens in Tampa. And then we're going to get into a few movie things towards the end. We're going to talk about, Barry's going to talk about Fantastic Beasts and what he thought about that. And at the very end, we will discuss Ralph Breaks the Internet. So that's kind of the gist for today.
Oh,
so.
And Disney made a few announcements since the last time we were here live on a podcast.
Oh, yeah. Did I skip over podcast. Destination D announcements? Yeah.
Yeah.
probably what 90% of this podcast is going to be.
But speaking of Disney, Lion King trailer dropped, apparently to much acclaim from most people on Thanksgiving night out of nowhere. And I was sort of meh. It didn't, I realized, you know, for some people it hit the nostalgia bug, 'cause it was a shot for shot. CGI live action hybrid of a segment from The Lion King. But it's, I just wasn't feeling it. I mean, I hope that this thing is not a shot for shot remake. I mean, we've been told that it's not a shot for shot remake. And I realize trailers are meant to, especially with these live action remakes, are meant to, you know, they try to amp up the nostalgia.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be, I don't think the whole movie is going to be a copy and paste with
animation film. Most of us have said if they don't have certain songs from the Broadway show, we're going to be pretty pissed.
Yeah.
Which is like mine and not just mine, but a lot of people's complaints about the Beauty and the Beast live action movie was the lack of the more popular Broadway songs instead of these brand new songs that were mediocre at best.
Yeah. I get where people were upset with it being virtually a copy and paste of the was it the original trailer for the animated one?
See, I can't remember if it was the original teaser or not. But the shots that they used were definitely very, evoked that same scene, the opening scene. Like I said, this is a teaser. It's meant to amp the nostalgia up.
Yeah.
You know, it was no different with Beauty and the Beast, the teaser for that. You know, it's meant to hit the nostalgia. But, I mean, this movie's going to, whether it's good or not, just like Beauty and the Beast, this movie's going to make a ton of money because Lion King is one of the most popular Disney animated movies of all time. But I have faith in Jon Favreau because he took Jungle Book, and the live action Jungle Book is actually better than the animated version of the Jungle Book.
Yeah.
And he expanded the story and made it better. And like I said, this, you know, we have the Broadway show, which, as much as I love the movie, the Broadway show for Lion King is amazing. I'm hoping that he's taking the things from the Broadway show that are really well done, really well popular, and are using the, you know, having this opportunity to do a new version of it is going to take songs and certain things from the Broadway show and apply it to this live action CGI hybrid.
Yeah.
So like I said, this is a teaser, you know, for a lot of people. I mean, it's like, I think what, one of the most viewed,
It broke some kind of record or something as the most viewed Disney trailer in 24 hours. Yeah.
Which, I mean, it helped. They knew what they were doing dropping that Thanksgiving evening.
Yeah. They're not stupid.
No. And out of nowhere too. Which I love when that type of stuff happens. You know, there was no hype, no nothing, and it just boom, they just dropped it because they knew, you know, especially starting on the East Coast, most people were done with their Thanksgiving dinner and then plopped in front of the TV or checking their devices, and then bam, there's the Lion King trailer.
Yeah, I got wind of it earlier in the day. I guess the word got out, but the masses, I'm pretty sure, didn't have any clue that it was going to happen. So,
yeah,
I liked it. I'm one of those types of people with this type of scenario. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I'm not saying that for the whole movie. I hope the movie is a different telling of the story. But again, it's a teaser and it worked. My wife, she's a huge Lion King fan, and it hit her, you know, hard.
Yeah.
So, you know, it worked for what it was.
Yeah. And speaking of more live action, you know, we have Dumbo, and we got the first real trailer for Dumbo. And for those of you who've listened to this podcast before, you know, the first teaser, I was sort of, obviously, you know, Tim Burton hasn't had the greatest track record in the last few movies. But I gotta say, this first real trailer has got me a little bit more excited. They definitely nail the look and feel of Dumbo, and you get a little bit more idea of what the more expanded storyline is that, you know, and a little bit more of the human characters. And I gotta admit it, I really liked the look and the feel of this trailer, and really this, you know, showed a lot more of the stylistic choices this movie's gonna have, and I got hope now that this might actually be good.
Yeah, I think the one thing I'm more excited about with the movie is they're going to they're gonna explore them rescuing Dumbo's mother more.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, with the original Dumbo movie, you know, they had to cut it short because of the war and everything. That whole story. So it'll be nice to get a little more fulfilling of a Dumbo movie.
Yeah, and it seems like, you know, Dumbo and his mom, they're at like a part of a smaller struggling circus, and that Michael Keaton's character is like, you know, sort of almost like a P.T. Barnum type character.
Yeah.
You know, who's got this big, you know, whether it's, they don't really show whether it's a circus or if it's more of like a big, like sort of almost like park or something.
Yeah.
Almost like a pre-Disneyland, like maybe, you know, sort of a Coney Island type thing or something like that. They don't, it's, all we know is it's called Dreamland. So
it's called Disneyland. Oh,
yes. So I mean, it's definitely, I definitely like the look of it, and I like the feel of it, and the CGI Dumbo. I mean, he looks almost real.
His clown face is adorable. Oh, my
oh
God.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's they really. I mean, he looks like an actual. You know, he has heft. It looks like there's something there. It doesn't look like it's just, you know,
yeah,
animated in.
Yeah.
So it's
no. He's done really well.
He's done really well, and so I'm actually excited for that. You know, not as excited for Lion. Like we said, we'll see with the next, you know, when we get a full blown trailer for The Lion King, and hopefully get a little bit more of idea of what's in it or what's new in it. But Dumbo, definitely excited for. So
it comes out in March, right?
Yeah,
March 29th. Yeah, I got it right.
Yeah,
here.
I mean we've discussed this next year. It's like the only competition Disney really has next year is Disney.
It's true. I saw a post on Facebook of Disney's lineup for 2019, and it's just insane with Avengers and Dumbo and Lion King and Frozen 2.
I really, like, I think we've had this discussion before. I'm really wondering if anything to me is going to tank out of that bomb. It may be Aladdin.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, once again, they want to open another movie, like, I think, what, 3 weeks after Avengers?
Yeah.
It didn't work really well. Well, it was 4 weeks last year because they moved it up a week. But it didn't work really well for them last year. So
I'm just curious to see Will Smith as Aladdin.
You mean as the genie?
Or genie, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
As
yeah,
genie.
I mean, that's one thing that I understand why they cast Will Smith, but every live action, like Broadway version of the genie has always been a very larger than life person.
Yeah.
And I just, Will Smith's, you know, he's, you know, doesn't really have much heft to him. So.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
I'm interested. I think that's what I'm interested to see is, A, I don't think we've seen him as the genie. And I don't think we've, you know, I can't picture him acting, you know, his portrayal of the genie. I'm curious how that's all going to work out. So.
Well, I imagine with the I gotta imagine maybe before Christmas we'll get a full-blown trailer from Aladdin.
Yeah.
So.
Because what do we have coming out?
We'll probably get a full-blown trailer for Aladdin.
Mary Poppins.
Before we will get an Avengers 4 trailer.
Yeah. We could get it before Mary Poppins.
There's a joke now, we may never get an Avengers 4 trailer. So.
Or the name of the movie.
Yeah. They'll just you know, wait till they put out, you know, the tickets on sale 1 month in advance, and then you'll, that's the only warning we will get. Because, I mean, literally, they don't have to market that movie. So
yeah, no, they don't. So we'll talk about movies more later on. We're going to review, like I said, Ralph Breaks the Internet, and Barry's going to talk about Fantastic Beasts. But we're going to switch over to some theme park stuff now. Christmas stuff, because 'tis the season. Mm-hmm. Barry, you were actually at Universal yesterday, was it?
Yeah, I was at Universal this past weekend. On top of, I did get to go to the pass holder preview night, so I've sort of seen everything this year. The Hogwarts Christmas at Hogwarts Castle show, the Magic of Christmas at Hogwarts Castle show.
Yeah,
is back. It's the same. I didn't really notice any changes this year. There are definitely a little bit more decorations in Hogsmeade and Diagon Alley this year.
Yeah, I noticed those as they were setting them up post Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah, there's a few more decorations, and there's definitely, especially in the studios in New York Street, there's a lot more decorations this year.
I haven't seen those yet. I have to get over there soon and check them all out.
Yeah, there's a lot more. They've added a lot more decorations this year, which is good. I mean, I'm glad that we didn't get anything big new this year. But I'm glad they've compared to what Universal used to do, they've really added a lot more decorations.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's great. It looks, especially at night, and that's the thing. I could not remember if the garland last year in the Hogsmeade and Diagon Alley had lights on it, because I feel like it didn't have lights on it last year, whereas this year all the garland has lights on it. So
yeah, I think you tweeted that out on the Thrill Geek Twitter handle, and I was like, didn't they have lights already?
I don't remember. And then the other thing, in Grinchmas in Seuss Landing, they've added two LED Christmas trees.
Those things are bright.
Yeah, those things are really bright. I mean, bright to, like, when it's when it gets cloudy during the day, you can actually see them.
Yeah.
So the only real big change this year was Grinchmas got a new set and new staging. It's still the same show,
yeah.
But they built a new set this year, and they changed the way they stage the Grinch. He's not way high up like he used to be. There's like a set piece that comes in and out for the Grinch stuff when he's in on top of Mount Crumpet.
Interesting.
Which I think what it does is, one of the things it does, it used to be they had to have two actors playing the Grinch, because they had to have the one that was high up on Mount Crumpet, because he would, like, all of a sudden disappear there and pop out the other side.
Yeah.
So now they have just one actor doing the Grinch. And the set overall looks a lot better. And you actually see Max more than you used to. Used to be you only saw him at the end. But now he's sitting there with the Grinch when they cut to the scene, when the set piece on Mount Crumpet pops out.
Yeah.
So that's nice, and like I said, the staging's better. The only thing I wish they would have finally redone the costumes. They redid the Grinch's costume. He's a little chubbier than he used to be. But the Who's have the same exact costumes. So I that's the only thing I wish they would have changed up a little bit. But it's new staging, some new choreography. So I really enjoyed it. And the holiday parade's back, and it's just as good as it was last year. Pretty much the same exact parade, and it's Universal's. Like I said, adding a little bit of things in there. We'll be interested to see in the future if they finally do a few more little extra things. Whether they create a holiday version of the Cinematic Spectacular show, but
We all want a Halloween Horror Nights version, and I would love to see a Christmas version as well.
Yeah, so we'll see if that's will happen in the years to come. Because I mean, last year Universal has really finally fired a shot across Disney and SeaWorld's bow on Christmas, because Christmas was always an afterthought to them, and they've gone full blown into Christmas, including they've got in San Francisco at the Boardwalk Bakery, and then at the other place, whatever the hell, the place with the cheesecakes up front.
Yeah.
They have Christmas desserts, which I forgot to post online. There's like a red velvet Yule log. There's gingerbread cookies. There's Christmas sugar cookies. There was like about six or seven different desserts. So they've really, you know, trying to do a little bit more for Christmas now compared to they used to. So it's like, and great thing too is it runs through the first weekend in January. So that's another smart thing that they do, which I don't understand why Disney doesn't do that. But
but there's that's a lot of things we don't understand.
Like I said, we said last year, they really upped their game, and it's a must do for Christmas here in Orlando is Universal's holiday stuff.
So. Yeah, I'll get out there. I'm actually thinking about maybe this weekend coming up, taking Jordan, just me and him. I mean, not that we'll be able to do the Christmas stuff because there's a lot of rides he wants to ride.
Yeah.
But maybe get over there with him and check some of it out next weekend. So,
you guys went to Christmas Town over Busch Gardens.
Yeah, we threw the kids in the car and we made the long haul down to Busch Gardens Tampa.
It's so far away.
it seems like it. I love Busch Gardens. I really do. I love that park. But I hate the drive down there. It's such a boring drive.
Well, it's not just that. You never know what you're going to get. I mean, you could
exactly
like where I live. There's sometimes I can get there in an hour and 10 minutes.
Yeah.
If there's no traffic.
And I think we made pretty good time when we went to Christmas Town. Thank God with the kids, mm-hmm. All three kids in the car. I don't think we ran into any traffic issues. It was pretty smooth sailing down there. But yeah, we went down to Christmas Town at Busch Gardens. We got there, it was like kind of, early evening, late afternoon, around 5, I think we got there.
Mm-hmm.
And, we got our tickets and they gave us a few little coupons to try, some of the holiday seasonal beverages and, food. And, we really tried to focus on the shows, because, you know, being down there with the wife and kids, we wanted to walk around and look at the lights, but we really wanted to focus on seeing some of the really good holiday shows, because just like SeaWorld here in Orlando, Busch Gardens does an amazing job for Christmas Town there. The lights in the park, the atmosphere of the park, we got one night there and we didn't even get everything done. There's so much to do at Christmas Town, at either of the parks here in Florida, Busch Gardens or SeaWorld. But we first catered to our munchkins and we went and saw Elmo's Christmas Wish, which is a cute little show. It's about Elmo trying to come up with a Christmas wish. Excuse me. Cute little show. We saw that for the kids to kind of entertain them for a little bit. And we saw a glimpse of the Three Kings Journey, which is a great show. You don't really sit and watch. It's kind of a stage that's kind of set up like the manger scene.
Yeah.
You kind of stand there and watch it. It's nothing you have to go to like any sort of theater or anything to see. Really good show. Really good music. They talk about the Three Kings Journey, and the singing in it's really good because the three kings are singing. So we did that, and then I think the other show we did was we did the ice skating show, Christmas on Ice.
Yeah.
And we saw that because we figured the kids would like to see that, you know, watch some ice skating. We saw that. And in between that, we walked around. We tried to explore. We didn't even get to the back of the park. Pretty much, I think the furthest we got into the park was kind of Pantopia area, Falcon's Fury area.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't get to see the new show. Was it Christmas Is, or I think that's the new show? Yeah, it's at the Dragonfire Grill.
No, we never made it to that. I mean, like, we kind of stayed up in the front of the park, kind of around Cheetah Hunt. We saw the they do a really cool excuse me. They do a really cool light show at the Serengeti Overlook Restaurant.
Yeah, the Carol of the Bells.
The Carol of the Bells light show. The kids love that. We saw that. We saw one quick take of that. And then we kind of did some more exploring. They have a... I can't remember where it was. It's one of the midways, and it has penguins. It's really cute. I can't for the life of me remember where it was.
It's between Cheetah Hunt and the train station.
Yeah. It was where the Day of the Dead scare zone was for Hollow Scream. But they have this really cute these cute penguin statues set up, and you can pose for pictures with them. It was really a cute area of the park. And then we tried some of the food. Cheryl got some mac and cheese panini or something, which she liked. And then I got chicken and waffles, which was pretty delicious. The kids love that. They were begging me for just the waffle. they didn't want the chicken. They just wanted the yummy waffle. But we did that. And that was really it. That was all we had time for, unfortunately. But like I said, there's so much to do there at Christmastown, just like here at SeaWorld Orlando. They do such a great job decorating the park. The lights, the Sesame Street area is all decorated up. They have big nutcrackers of Cookie Monster and Elmo for the kids to, you know, look at and pose for pictures in front of. And that's the other thing, are the characters. They have some really creative characters for photo opportunities all throughout the park, especially in the Christmas Village area. I think that was it, really. It was, you know, the Christmastown Village is nice. They have all the different food booths set up. We tried a few things, like I said. But they were, we went back later on in the evening, and there was something else we wanted to try, but they were starting to sell out of stuff. It was a beer cheese soup that sounded really good. And we went back later on in the evening, and unfortunately, it was sold out. So, it was a blast. You know, I wish we could get down there to Busch Gardens more often. But like I said, you know, just a drive down there, it's a long drive for us with the kids. So we tried to do as much as we could as we had time to do. But if you're not in the area and you can do that drive just once, it's worth the drive down there, for Christmastown. You won't be disappointed.
Yeah. And the nice thing is they do, even though they don't stay open as late during, the week in the beginning here, they do it every day. So
yeah, it's, I think the latest closing is 10, if I'm correct.
Yeah, I think it's on Friday, Saturday, and Sundays they stay open until 10, and then during the week, at least the first couple weeks here, they're open until 7 Monday through Thursday, but then they'll go to like 9, 10 o'clock closes every night through the end of the year.
So. Yeah, so you know, if you can get there somewhere early, it's included with your park admission. It's not a separate ticket, you know, so you can go there, enjoy the day, and then stay for Christmastown at night. It's a really fun time. I recommend it. It's if you enjoy SeaWorld Orlando's Christmastown, you'll love theirs. They got Rudolph down there too. I forgot to mention that, which we didn't get to. Again, there was so much stuff we didn't get to.
Yeah.
So you know, there's plenty to do easily for the time you're there. So.
Yep, and Busch Gardens Christmastown will run through December 31st.
So. Yes, it will. And I loved it. I wish I could get down there more. Where are we going to now?
So, you know, you would think the weekend before Thanksgiving, you wouldn't, you know, get really any announcements about stuff. But Disney decided to have their Destination D event at Disney World that weekend. And,
Disney fans got their own version of stuffing.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff, some minor, some big, announced that weekend. And, you know, we haven't been on since then to talk about it. So Let's just dive right in.
from the top.
Star Wars Galaxy Edge. Disney revealed the names of the attractions and also dropped teaser videos of the attractions and actually of Star Wars Galaxy Edge itself. So, you know, the Millennium Falcon ride will be Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run. And then the other ride, the what had been codenamed sort of the battle ride, will be
the Star epic battle between the Resistance.
Star Wars Rise of the Resistance.
And the First Order.
And so,
what'd you think of the names? The names of the rides.
Enough with the, I mean, I realize no, everyone's going to call it the Millennium Falcon ride. I don't know what's up with Disney lately with these name, semicolon, ride name.
Blah, 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 blah. The blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It, when it comes down to it, people are gonna call it the Falcon ride and probably the Resistance ride or the Star Wars ride.
Because you're obviously comparing this to, like, Avatar, Flight of Passage.
Yeah, I mean, I understand it's branding, but I mean, it, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
All we, you know, when it comes down to it, all we give a crap about is how good the ride is.
Yeah.
You know, and we got, you know, a little bit of a teaser video for both rides, and, but we got an even bigger teaser video when the news that was announced by that John Williams will be creating a new score for Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, and they teased some of that new score in a video that showed some stuff we hadn't seen before.
I think that's the closest, best footage we've seen of Galaxy's Edge yet.
Yeah, we actually...
What they showed in that video.
We saw some of them going through different areas of you know, some of it was from Disneyland, apparently some of it was also from Disney World. Going through different parts of Galaxy's Edge, and including going into the Rise of the Resistance ride and showing the walkers, to give you an idea of some of the scale of this land.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Time I see new, it's just rocks and apparently petrified trees. But every time I see this land, it's
I mean, we already sort of know, I mean, based on stuff that's gotten out on the internet, you know, I mean, we know the Rise of the Resistance ride. It's the same team that created the Shanghai Pirates ride. That it's, from what's been told, it's bigger than Shanghai Pirates is on a scale, on like a ride length size and scale size. I mean, we're... From what I've heard, like the scene with the walkers, I mean, it's like in a room, it's like three stories tall. It's in a set that's like three stories tall.
That's what really interested me about that video too. You mentioned the walkers. They're not AT-AT walkers, and they're not heavy assault walkers. They're like something we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously for scale for this ride, it's got to be something smaller.
Yeah.
The heavy walkers are, I mean, I can't remember off the top of my head what their scale was.
Compared to the AT-AT walkers?
Yeah, I mean, they were bigger than the AT-AT walkers. So.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and obviously stuff is also, you got to remember too, with rides, stuff is often scaled down. Because I mean, if you're going through the middle of this, you know, it can be three stories tall, but it'll feel just gigantic.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Forbidden Journey, Escape from Gringotts is a perfect example of that. That feeling of you're in a small warehouse, but the scale is massive.
Yeah. I mean, you get that from something like that, and so it's. I mean, this it's going to be, if they pull everything off that they're saying they're going to pull off, it's going to be pretty impressive. And that wasn't the only Star Wars stuff we got. I mean, we also got a little bit more about the Star Wars Resort. That's coming.
Yeah, that's right. We got some new
indeterminate time.
We got some new concept artwork and not really too many new details. But they threw a couple new concept artwork pieces out. I saw one going around, I don't know where it was released, but like of the lobby or like the drop off area.
Yeah, I mean,
did you see that one?
Yeah, I saw that one. I mean, I guess the illusion, the part is, you know, from what some of the things that you know, it's going to be like you board a shuttle, I believe, that will shuttle you to the ship. Well, and also you'll board some sort of theme shuttle that will shuttle you to
Galaxy's Edge. Yeah.
So it you know, this is going to be a fully immersive, you know, from what we've heard, 2-day experience. You know, and it's
at the low cost of your soul.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you know, some of our initial ideas of how much this is going to be a night, I think are too low.
Oh, there's no doubt.
I think what we were talking, $1,000 a night. I'll say.
This thing's smaller than a cruise ship. I mean, yeah. You know, and cruise ship prices are, you know.
And a cruise ship's not a fully immersive experience.
Exactly. And it doesn't have the Star Wars name on it.
No, I mean, these people, I mean, it's funny been seeing some of the reaction to it. It's like, no, this is what you're going for, a 2-day experience. They're like, well, what if you want to go to the other parks? No, you're not going to the other parks.
If you're paying
this kind of money, you're not. It's not a hotel room. It is a fully immersive 2-day experience.
You're not going to be able to park hop.
Yeah, no. I mean, this is not what they're building, and this is a boutique, fully immersive experience that, you know. That there's similar stuff like this in other places, but not, I don't think, anything with this kind of IP and scale.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's, you know, to the point that, you know, apparently, allegedly, I will say this based on some things we've seen leak out, it's like part of you going to Galaxy's Edge is you'll get your own type of experience to a Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting something that, you're not getting what the normal guest gets. So, I mean,
you're not going to experience what the average Joe Schmo going through Galaxy's Edge is going to.
Yeah, you're getting an exclusive VIP experience. So, you know, it's another, you know, like I said, it's probably something, unless Disney has us on their list by then, or one of us wins the lottery, that we'll ever get to experience. So
we'll see.
We'll see.
I'm excited just to see more details about it. Just what it's going to be, what you're going to do. It's mysterious. I don't know.
Yeah, and also Hollywood Studios. We might as well stick with that for the moment. We'll be getting the Wonderful World of Animation projection, nighttime spectacular, whatever, projection show, coming to Disney Hollywood Studios in 2019, and believe, what, May of 2019. And
no, this is not replacing Fantasmic, for those listening.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I got that question when this was announced.
It's not replacing Fantasmic, and looks like it's more like it's replacing Disney Movie Magic.
Yeah.
You know, this is just another projection show that I think more wide. As much as I mean, Disney Movie Magic, it is what it is. I mean, the best part of it is the Tron part.
Yeah.
But you know, it gives, I think this will probably interest people a little bit more. And with these projection mapping shows, animation works a lot better than live action.
Yeah, animation pops on those projectors a lot better.
Yeah, so, I mean, and I feel like, I wonder too if this is a, you know, one of the other things was announced is that Mickey's Runaway Railway, which we had all, based on all things we had ever heard, was supposed to open by May 2019, isn't coming till fall 2019. So I'm wondering if this is a little extra thing for next summer.
Space filler.
Yeah, to give a little bit extra, you know, I mean, they sort of also tied it into that. I guess they're going to celebrate the 30th anniversary, and And what, well, that was another thing that came out, that there's going to be a special 30th anniversary logo or something, which everybody confused with them renaming the park.
I was like, can we get our Disney X? Are we going to get our Disney XL park next year?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's, I will say,
it was confusing. It was like, they're announcing a new logo, but it's 30th anniversary logo. What's up with that?
I will say, out of all these Hollywood Studios announcements, the biggest thing that bothers me is the lack of nothing about finally updating Fantasmic.
Yeah, they're just kind of...
It really makes no sense to me why they are not finally updating Fantasmic. Because, I mean, the show already... I know we've gone over this, like, back and forth. It already sticks out like a sore thumb. If it wasn't for Rivers of Light, it would be the lowest-rated thing on lowest-rated nighttime show on Disney property.
Yeah.
I am hoping that as all this stuff they're doing at Hollywood Studios, they're finally going to update that damn show.
Yeah. I would lean towards believing that that will come post Galaxy's Edge.
Either post, I mean, I don't know why they don't take advantage of the fact that, I mean, so much of the park is already, under construction as it is.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, they already have a nighttime show that they run at the Chinese theater. So I guess for right now, they feel like they don't need to do anything, even though it definitely doesn't draw the crowds it used to.
Yeah.
You know, you can remember when they used to do like three shows a night.
Oh yeah, I remember back in the day there used to be several Fantasmic shows.
Yeah, now most nights it's one.
Yeah.
So it's that's maybe the only disappointment for me when it comes to Hollywood Studio stuff. Obviously the other big stuff was Epcot.
Yeah, we got a new Beauty and the Beast sing along.
Yeah, which I still, after I we
in
went
France.
And saw, yeah, we went and saw Impressions de France the other day, and I'm like, how the hell are they? Number one, that theater's not that big. It's got somewhat of a sort of a stage.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if this is going to be a sing along in the same aspect of the Frozen one. But
oh, man, like where they play out scenes in the movie and...
Yeah, but it's like, there's not that big of a stage. The theater's not that big, and I don't know where the heck you'd have a crowd queue up. So, I'll be interested to see if this is just going to be more like a sing-along, as in there's maybe an actor there in between stuff, and it's basically, you know, follow the bouncing ball. I mean, they are still going to keep the Impressions de France movie. I imagine they'll run that probably earlier in the day and then run the Beauty and the Beast thing the rest of into the evenings, because there's always seems to be a lack of stuff to do in the evenings in World Showcase sometimes.
Yeah.
And
we also got the name for the Ratatouille ride.
Yeah, we got the name for the Ratatouille ride, which is, you know... Also coming, which will be Remy's Ratatouille Adventure.
What's the name of the one in France?
That's a good question.
This is where Google comes in. We're theme park nerds. We're supposed to know this stuff.
I know we're supposed to...
Remy Ride Paris.
I think it's just called Ratatouille. Ratatouille the Adventure.
Yeah, Ratatouille the Adventure.
Is what it's called in Paris.
Ratatouille l'aventure totalement toi. My French is a bit off.
Yeah, I mean we got that.
The adventure ride.
Yes, we got that. Canada is getting an update, which is good. I mean it's definitely due for an update. They were already had announced that they're updating the China film, so all that's getting refreshed. Which is really good. Which is, you know, an American Adventure got an updated film like what in the last year or two, I believe. So you know that sort of updates World Showcase. And we haven't talked about at at IAPA, at the IAPA Attractions Expo, they revealed the car for the Guardians of the Galaxy ride.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Yeah, so much happened. We did our live show at IAPA, and so much has happened between now and then. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if we forget something today.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, they have revealed that, and they, what do they call it? A
storytelling coaster.
And they, I hate to say, they act, as usual with Disney, they acted like no one had ever come up with this before.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently they had, no one from Imagineering has ridden Gringotts.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it'll be a coaster on a motion platform. Gosh, where have we seen that before?
And Gringotts.
Where did somebody else, another company, announce something similar to?
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, they sort of revealed that, and I believe it's, is it the longest indoor coaster in the world?
I think they're touting it as, not the, but I think one of the longest.
The longest indoor, with the size of, yeah, they claim that you can fit 4 spaceships, spaceship Earths, and I don't know if they're referring, I don't think they're referring to the Spirit itself. I'm thinking they're referring to the actual ride inside Spaceship Earth, but that you could fit 4 of those in the Guardians building, which, if we're talking about the ride, yeah, I could believe that, because that building is so freaking huge.
Yeah, it's huge. Like, I took a picture of it from the roof of the Disney Springs garage, and it's just ridiculous how big thing is.
It's crazy how big it is. But so that was revealed at IAPA. And then the other thing for Epcot, which, you know, we should be very happy that Epcot's getting a lot of love.
Yeah.
Whether we'll be happy about the love it gets, that will remain to be seen. But they announced that that we all knew Illuminations was closing next year. What we originally, I think, was announced was summer, but it now apparently is going to be fall, because there will be a limited time show called Epcot Forever that will initially take Illuminations' place, that will debut in fall 2019 and will feature classic Epcot tunes. And looks like it'll be a fireworks show, because they are redoing the infrastructure on the World Showcase Lagoon, because in 2020, they will be debuting a brand new nighttime spectacular that will feature massive floating set pieces, custom-built LED panels, choreographed moving fountains, lights, pyrotechnics, and lasers, and it will celebrate how Disney music inspires people around the world. They released some concept art for both shows. The Epcot Forever one pretty much sort of showed basically fireworks over the lagoon.
I'm curious to me what they mean by classic Epcot tunes.
I imagine, well, you know, those of us who've gotten to go to the anniversary, the last three, you know, since the 25th, they've done, on the 25th, the 30th, and the 35th, they did special tags that featured classic Epcot music.
Yeah.
So I imagine this is going to be an entire show with classic Epcot songs. I mean,
It's going to be an ode before we're slapped in the face with IP overload with the new show.
Yeah, that was pretty much the reaction. and the, based on the concept art, it's like, so this is going to be happily ever after at Epcot.
Pretty much, yeah.
with a mixed in with World of Color.
This
Epcot LED Forever screens.
Epcot Forever is going to be the taps for Epcot.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not surprising. We sort of knew that this was probably going to happen. You know, I will say the design of the concept art looks pretty interesting. I'm going to be interested to see how well the LED and projection works. I mean, it looks like they're going to take the globe and fully cover it with state-of-the-art LEDs, because in the center of the 2020 show, you know, it sees what looks like Hercules, young Hercules, on a globe, And then it, whether these are LED panels or whether they're using, I really hope they're not using the same, I hope, unless they've come up with a better version of the crappy side shooting vertical mist screens like Rivers of Light have.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to see how this show is.
I don't know how water screen technology has progressed over the years.
I mean, this is going to definitely be a bigger show. I mean, these are some, I mean, you look at the size of these set, the set pieces on this thing. It's huge.
Yeah, I was studying the concept artwork pretty close, and it, some of the set design looks pretty impressive, so...
Yeah, and then we already know that they've, you know, there's been permits laid for like new infrastructure, new like what's like cables and stuff, pipelines and different stuff that's being going to be laid in the World Show like Showcase Lagoon, for this show. And that's
are they
going
to have to drain that?
No, I don't think. No, I you can't drain the World Showcase Lagoon. Remember, it's all tied in to. You know, I mean, yes, was it a created waterway? Yes, but I don't think you can drain the World Showcase Lagoon.
Sections, maybe.
Yeah, I guess you, that would be very complicated and expensive.
Yeah.
You know, I imagine they'll do, you know, they'll have, much like they did with Rivers of Light, they, you know.
They'll have barges and.
Yeah, I mean, they'll have barges, but they'll have, there's definitely, you know, some infrastructure that has to be laid down.
Yeah,
in this lagoon for these pieces that are going to come out at night, which, you know, look gigantic.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. You know, with the Reflections of Earth ending, it's definitely will be an end of an era, because I don't think they're going to call this show Illuminations.
No.
you know, albeit yes, is Illuminations due for a replacement? Yes. Is it a do we want a replacement with Disney Music? It overwhelmingly, at least from the fan community, it doesn't seem very, they're very happy.
No, you know, I'm a huge fan of like the Millennium Celebration, the whole Tapestry of Nations thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a sobbing mess when that goes to the wayside, because of, you know, just the soundtrack's amazing.
No, I mean, I love the Reflections of Earth soundtrack. I imagine and I hope, especially because since it really has got a lot of stuff that would be perfect for fireworks. I'm hoping, and it's been in some of the anniversary celebrations. I wouldn't be surprised if we get the Tapestry of Nations parade music in the Epcot Forever show.
Yeah.
You know, so it's. But like I said, that Epcot Forever show is going to be feel like a sort of a stab in the heart before.
That's what I'm saying. It's going to be
we get whatever this other show is. So.
It's going to be a nod to the death of Epcot as we know it. So
yeah, I think
that was it, right? As far as Destination D news was.
Yeah, for Disney World. Well, they did announce the. The Mickey and Minnie surprise celebration at Magic Kingdom, which, you know, we had already gotten the announcement of the Move It, Shake It, Mouska Dance street party. Say that four times fast. but we do, you know, it still is kicking off in January. The other thing, but we did get announced that Mickey and Minnie will be greeting guests together inside Town Square Theater, and they'll be wearing their new colorful, what I'd call their confetti outfits, the 90th birthday outfits. So you'll get Mickey and Minnie together, which I believe you only get at Animal Kingdom, is the only other place you get Mickey and Minnie together.
Yeah.
Did they add that to Hollywood? I couldn't remember if they added that to Hollywood Studios or not. Or
I don't ever remember them being together at Hollywood Studios.
But in Pluto, we'll move into Minnie's. Yeah, Minnie spot in Pete's Silly Sideshow, which makes sense because she has sort of a dog. She's like a dog show, dog circus dog act.
Yeah.
So that'll sort of work with Pluto. And you'll be able to, inside Town Square Theater, you'll be able to sign a guest book to let Mickey and Minnie know personally how much fun you had during the party. So, you know, and yes, this all kicks off the morning of January 18th, 2019. So it gives a little bit something new for the Magic Kingdom next year, and hopefully the new version of Move It, Shake It is better than the current version of Move It, Shake It.
It won't take much to do that.
Yeah, and that will be wrapping up, I believe, coming up here soon in December.
I would imagine they're going to wait for the holidays to be over, aren't they?
I don't think so. I think it ends before the holidays, unless they extended it again, because I think it was originally supposed to end like in October or something.
Yeah.
And they pushed it back. So we will see. And then over in Disneyland, there will be the Mickey and Minnie celebration that will kick off at Disneyland, which they will be getting a very interesting nighttime show.
Disneyland's getting a rave, y'all.
Yeah, Mickey's Mixed Magic. This nightly extravaganza creates a family fun dance party. Wow, a dance party. Where DJ Mickey will be spinning the new celebration song, It's a Good Time. along with new fun takes on favorite Disney songs. They will be using the projection. One of the things Disneyland has is projection mapping all throughout Main Street, USA. So they'll be using the projection mapping, lighting, lasers, water screens. They'll be using the water screens in Rivers of America, and they also do the projection mapping on the facade of It's a Small World. And then on select nights, they will be enhanced with the addition of fireworks. Which one of the things I've heard is, unless they can eventually move the fireworks launch site, it interferes with Star Wars Galaxy's Edge at Disneyland.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
And it would cause them to have to shut down, I think, entrance. I think they could keep the rides, who's ever already in line for the rides, going, but they would have to shut down letting people into Galaxy's Edge.
That would be funny.
Which, once again, boy, that's going to give another reason to piss off the locals there, because, albeit they don't do fireworks every night, but could you imagine during the summertime them not doing fireworks,
folks,
every night?
No fireworks tonight.
Yeah, I mean,
but go to Star Wars.
Yeah, but go to Star Wars, which, a lot of you locals weren't happy about to begin with.
Yeah.
The other thing is Mickey's Soundstational Parade will return to Disneyland starting January 25th. It had been on hiatus during the whole Pixar celebration. And then Valentine's month was it January 22nd through February 18th. Will be Minnie's Valentine's Surprise, a special cat scavenger hunt. And of course, as usual with Disney, there will be food, beverage, merchandise, and more, because they definitely have gotten in on this exclusive merchandise during different merchandise and food during different events. So, but this will be going on, I guess, throughout 2019, starting in January at the Disneyland Resort.
Disneyland.
So I think that's all the destination, the big Destination D stuff.
Yeah, we took a week off, not really a week off, but we did our live IAPA show and all this happened, so we're trying to play catch up.
Live, in quotation marks.
Yeah, quote, live from IAPA.
Which apparently a lot of people liked, so maybe we will do a show like that again in the future of us walking around and maybe just us walking around and talking. So.
Yeah, it's doing well. So, all right, really quick, we're going to power through a couple quick movie reviews here. Fantastic Beasts and the Crimes of Grindelwald. And then we'll both discuss Ralph Breaks the Internet. So
Fantastic Beasts, Crimes of Grindelwald, I got a chance to see it. I didn't like it as much as the first movie, which I think is a lot of people's opinions. I didn't dislike it as much as some people did.
Yeah.
My biggest flaw with the movie was they introduced a bunch of new characters with really not much of a backstory, and it felt like the entire movie, the whole purpose of the entire movie was to set up the next three movies, which we know there was supposed to be a total of five movies. So it felt like everything that happened in that movies was to get these characters into places that they needed to be for the next three movies.
getting everybody in place and ready
to go. I will say I liked Jude Law as the younger Dumbledore. I think he did a good job at that. You know, I mean, there was a few twists in the movie that some, you know, that I liked. There was one I didn't like that I felt sort of made sense but didn't totally make sense. I don't really want to give everything away. I mean, though it's been spoiled by a lot of people out there. And I thought Johnny Depp wasn't too bad. You know, I mean, he was actually, you know, not too bad for Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
You know, which, I mean, I know
there's still a lot of people giving him flack for.
Yeah, I mean, yes. Has he, you know, I'm not going to go into his personal life. But, I mean, yes, have a lot of people gotten tired of seeing him in movies? Yes, because we've gotten, you know, his shtick has gotten sort of old. But, I mean, this time he wasn't over the top, wasn't, you know, he did what he was supposed to do.
Yeah.
And was perfectly fine. But would it have been better maybe if an English actor had played that character? Probably.
Yeah.
The accent, I mean, he wasn't as good as Colin Farrell in the first movie, so you know, it is what it is. I don't think it's going to do as well in the U.S. as it did the first one did. We'll see how well it does worldwide. I think the biggest issue is the fact that J.K. Rowling wrote the screenplay and she's not a good editor.
Yeah,
so. So, I think, you know, if she had just come up with a story and someone else wrote, like, the guy, I can't remember exactly who wrote, like, the last few Harry Potter movies, if something like that, it probably would have been a better movie. So.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I got some movie catching up to do, but
we both got to see Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, I did get
to say Ralph Breaks the Internet. That's the accurate title.
I was confused for the longest time. I was like, is it Wreck-It Ralph 2 or is it Ralph Breaks the Internet? Which one is it?
And I think they just had changed it to Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Yeah, they started off with Wreck-It Ralph 2 and then they changed it. So, Ralph Breaks the Internet. I got to go to the Disney Parks blog showing, so I got to see it a little earlier than everybody. But I liked it. In some parts, the internet, you know, this movie's got so much content it could have played off of. If I had a bad thing to say about the movie, and this isn't really even a bad thing, it seemed in a few parts the internet jokes were going a little too long.
For me, the internet stuff was just sort of like a plot device.
Yeah,
it served the story and was not like the main focus of the movie.
It was almost like a platform for them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Ralph uses the, you know, and once again, if you haven't seen the movie, please skip to the end of this podcast, because it's hard to not talk about it without getting a little spoilery.
Yeah.
But I mean, ultimately the story is about, you know, friendship, and that sometimes, you know, for your friend to pursue their dreams,
you got to make tough choices.
You have to make tough choices, and they, you know, the movie ends on a bittersweet note.
Yeah.
You know, and I really kudos to Disney for doing that, for being, you know, I like the way that, you know, albeit, you know, they don't talk down to kids about, you know, sometimes, you know, if you really love your friends and you want them to be happy, sometimes you got to let them go. Do the thing that's going to make them happy, even if it makes you sad.
What'd you think? No, I completely agree. And kind of on that same, you know, since we're talking about kind of the message behind the movie, you know, me being a parent of an 8-year-old, and they even used me saying this in the Disney Parks blog video that they put up after Jordan wanted to go up and be interviewed as usual, but then he gets up there and he freezes when they start asking him questions. So I try to come up with a sensible answer that might have gotten the final cut.
Yeah, he needs to get better at that because he's going to need to start being in some vlogs or something.
Yeah. he wants to go up and interview, but then he freezes up. But no, one of the little snippet that they use from me in the Disney Parks blog video is me mentioning the fact that there's a lot of, you know, going back to the internet, there's a lot of little messages in this movie about how bad the internet can be.
Yeah, there was a lot of that. It was very subtle.
Yeah.
And they didn't hit you over the head with it.
No.
I liked you know, the little things that they put about, you know.
Like when Ralph sees the comment section of like his YouTube videos or whatever the YouTube wannabe platform that he's using is. You know, when he starts seeing all the negative comments, excuse me, that was really powerful. That they put that in there because, you know, the kids nowadays with the internet, it's so easily accessible and it's not all happy, happy days on the internet. The internet is a bad place. I hate to say that, but
yeah.
And there's some really important messages in this movie about just how bad the internet can be, but yet fun at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, there's that, and I mean, same thing with the Slaughter Race game. I mean, some of the stuff about, you know, some of the video gaming, you know,
yeah,
a little bit of message there too. But I mean, ultimately, you know, where the first movie was more about Ralph's journey, this movie is more about Vanellope's journey.
Yeah,
and her being finding her happiness,
kind of finding where she needs to be and where.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, for Ralph, it you know, he, you know, and I love how, like I said, once again, we're going to get into spoiler alerts, a place called Slaughter Race.
Yeah.
You know, the whole princess, yes, the princess segment, I will say there are two major princess segments in this movie. The second one, they didn't reveal in any of the advertising or trailers, and it was brilliant.
It was a good surprise.
Yeah, when they come in it through the end, and out of all the princess stuff, if Ariel seemed to got the most moments out of all of them, and most funny moments too.
Yeah, I can kind of see where you're saying. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the hilarious thing is Vanellope got her own princess I want song.
Yeah.
And it was so funny because I'm watching her. She's like trying to, like, you know, do it. And then I'm like, oh my god, they're actually going to have her break out in song. And then you get to the credits, and it's of course like music by Alan Menken. It's like,
yeah, no, that her whole number was quite the surprise.
Yes, a place called Slaughter Race, and it is a surprise, and it's subversive and funny as hell.
Yeah, it's really it's done well. I liked it.
It's one of the highlight moments of the movie. But yeah, I mean, it's ultimately about her journey and finding her happiness, and Ralph getting all I will say, his insecurity over losing Vanellope becomes the ultimate villain.
Yeah,
movie.
That was really interesting. How they did that.
Yeah, I thought that was really, really interesting, really neat how they did that, and I really enjoyed the movie. I mean, I know in the Dis Twitter world,
yeah,
it's been sort of mixed among Disney fans, and I don't know what they. So many people I feel like got caught up over the internet stuff. And really, yes, you see a bunch of stuff like YouTube stuff? Yeah, but they come up with their own original stuff for the actual main parts of the movie.
Yeah.
And like I said, the internet stuff is a plot device in this film. It's used to carry the story along.
Yeah.
And you know, yes, do Felix and God, what's her name? The Hero's Duty, the character from Hero's Duty, yeah, they did get sort of a short shrift in the movie, but like I said, this is ultimately really, really Vanellope's story. So, and Ralph, this is really more about Vanellope and Ralph in this.
Oh, you're talking about Sergeant Calhoun?
Yeah. Which yeah. if I feel like I'd be interested to see in the deleted scenes if there's a whole other section of theirs that got cut out of the movie.
And can I, yeah. Hey, while we're talking about, you know, scenes cut out, and can I just say it was genius of how they put the whole pancake milkshake thing in there?
Oh yeah, the post credit scenes were awesome.
Yeah,
the little girl going.
Yeah,
yeah, but they didn't have scenes that were in the trailer.
Yeah, I thought that was perfect. I loved that because I was doing that at the end of the movie. I was like, "Where's the whole bunny pancake scene in the movie?"
Yeah, that was hilarious, and then of course the Rick roll at the end.
Frozen 2 preview.
Yeah, that was really well done. So and I like the way I feel like the way they visualized the internet, I feel like it's not going to date this movie in a way that, you know, a lot of people were worried about it. Oh my God, this is like Disney's emoji movie.
I think the cinematography of the way the movie was animated, the way the internet was, I guess, created.
Yeah, and the fact that, like, people who are online, it's like their avatars are walking around.
Yeah, like they're driving around in cars and stuff. And that was really interesting how they did all that stuff. So
yeah, so I really liked it. I really enjoyed it. I got to see it in the Dolby Cinema, which it just amped how visually stunning this movie is. I mean, it's been 6 years since the first one, and the jump in the animation is just it just amazes me.
Yeah, I wanted to go. Speaking on that, I wanted to go back and watch the original. I always want to do that whenever, because the original Wreck-It Ralph was actually the very first Disney Parks blog meetup that they had. They told us that when we were there. So, and that was what, six years ago. So I want to go back and watch the original Wreck-It Ralph, which I haven't seen in probably several months. Maybe more than that. I want to go back and see it and just kind of see how the animations changed and stuff like that. I always like doing that. So
yeah.
I liked it. I liked Ralph Breaks the Internet. There's so much going on in the back of the movie, like you said, with the internet and stuff. It's going to be a movie that you're going to see 3 or 4 times and discover all the little Easter eggs and stuff. So I liked it. I liked it a lot. And like you said, it's very mixed right now. You know, scrolling through Twitter, I'll see people that love it, and then I'll see people that are kind of about it. So,
no, I really liked it. And
so, all right, I think that's it, right? We get caught up after taking.
Yeah, we did. We got completely caught up. And
good Lord, we didn't even mention the passing of Stan Lee.
That was what I forgot to put on the list.
Yeah. Yep. Good old Stan.
Yeah, it's we will never see anyone like Stan Lee again. It's just the world is different now.
Yeah.
I mean, he you know, the output that him along with, you know, other artists and creators like Steve Ditko, why am I going blank now on all these people? Steve Ditko.
Because we weren't playing for this.
Yeah, but I mean, the output between, was it 1960 and 1972? We're talking, you know, he either created or co-created Spider-Man, Iron Man.
Yeah.
Was it Thor, the Fantastic Four, the X-Men? I mean, so much stuff that is now, like, part of our pop culture, and he was the first real, you know, I almost say like preacher for pop culture, the pop culture that we know now.
Yeah,
I mean, he was doing this in the late, starting especially in the mid 60s, you know, by going around talking about Marvel and talking about comics in an adult way. And you know, going, you know, by the time he started going to, like, universities and speaking and stuff, to the point, you know, he finally moved out to LA to try to, you know, move Marvel into, you know, television and films. And obviously a lot of missteps along the way, but now we have, you know, the world that we're in now where pop culture is the dominant thing. The Marvel Cinematic Universe is the dominant, you know, thing in comic book movies.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he along with, you know, all the people he worked with over the years, there will never be another Stan Lee.
Yeah. You know, every time you saw a video of Stan, every time you heard Stan Lee, whether it was, you know, listening to a podcast that he was featured on, just how much of a genuine person he was.
Yeah, I mean, and I've known of Stan Lee since I was a kid, since, you know.
Oh yeah, we all have, yeah.
You know, he used to narrate a lot of the TV animation stuff, but then, you know, you would see him on different things, you know, and it's just, it's hard to imagine a world without Stan Lee. I mean, it's crazy, you know. It's funny to think, you know, it's like, you know, I mean, one of his really, you know, we talk about his cameos, but, you know, one of his really bigger first appearances in a movie was in Kevin Smith's Mallrats.
Yeah.
Where, you know, where he drops this, you know, this monologue to Brody, and Stan was 73 at the time.
Yeah.
And I remember Kevin Smith talking about it. It's like, oh, we thought, you know, we only have that much more time with him. And then he goes on and lives another 22 years. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, Mallrats came out, what, 95, 96?
Yeah, 95. And so it's, I think it was 95, 96. And to think that we had another 20 years, and it's just been amazing. I mean, I've seen so many interviews with Stan Lee and heard so many people talk about him, but it's been even amazing to hear even more stories that have come out, you know, about different things about him. And, especially if you really want to hear a good tribute to Stan Lee, listen to the Fat Man Beyond podcast. It's Kevin Smith and Mark Bernardin, and they do a whole Stan Lee tribute episode, and it's got some great stories about Stan Lee.
That's cool. I'll just have to see if I can get that listen.
So it's, you know, it's going to be weird. We know he's got three more cameos he's filmed.
I was wondering that. I was like, do we know how many backlogs of cameos he's already filmed?
I think they've shot at least three more cameos of, and he was in Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Yeah, I was just gonna say he was in Ralph Breaks the Internet.
So it's we know there's at least, I think, three more film cameos, and so like I said, there will never be another person like Stan Lee, and it's the world's a smaller place without him here.
Yeah. You know, it wasn't shocking, his death.
No.
It wasn't shocking, but I think you summed it up perfectly, and you know,
I was amazed he lived as long as he did since the passing of his wife. You gotta understand, him and his wife, they were together for, was it 65 years or something?
That's insane.
She was the love of his life.
Yeah.
And it's just, I'm amazed that he stuck around as long as he did.
Yeah. And you know, speaking of sticking around, it's nice to see that he was able to stick around for as long as he did, seeing where the Marvel Cinematic Universe is right now.
Yeah, I mean, he really got to see his, you know, the things he had a part in creating grow into this thing that is like loved around the world.
Yeah, the passion people have for these movies, and for him to be able to see that was, you know, something that is really cool, and I'm glad he was still around for. So, excelsior, Stan. We'll miss you.
Yep.
So, all right. I think that's it.
Yeah, that is it. We are at Thrill Geek on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/thrillgeek, where you can check out our live streams. And we are youtube.com/thrillgeek. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, where we got a bunch of new videos.
Yeah, I saw you adding those all today, by the way. I was like, oh.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, we got this year's Universal Holiday Parade. We've got this year's Epcot Illuminations Holiday Finale. We've got Jingle Bam Jingle Bell Jingle Bam, the full show, the 2018 version of the show. We've got the new version of the Sunset Seasons Greetings, which now have lasers. We finally got our last two Halloween Horror Nights videos up. We've sort of been so busy with other stuff.
Somebody commented on one of them, like, isn't it too late for Halloween Horror Nights video? I was like,
it's
no.
Never too late for Halloween Horror Nights video.
That's exactly what I said.
And really, I mean, we apologize for taking so long, and we hope you enjoy them. It's the final ball drop for Vamp 85, and it's the final dance parties for the Killer Clown Scare Zones. So we hope you enjoy them. We especially hope the scare actors and crews who all worked in those scare zones enjoy getting to look at the final night in the final things for those scare zones that year. So we got all that on YouTube. We're gonna have a lot of video content coming to YouTube in the next month. So
yeah, I want to especially get out to the parks and Disney in particular and film some more stuff out there for Christmas.
Yeah, and we're gonna be after I get back from Tokyo, we're gonna have a bunch of Tokyo Disneyland stuff coming to the YouTube channel.
Yeah, so
and remember, for the latest in theme park and pop culture news, visit thrillgeek.com and listen to the Thrill Geek Podcast.
Yep.
Get it wherever podcasts are sold.
I still love that you say sold at the end of that. We got more Christmas goodies coming up. As we said at the beginning, 'tis the season.
Yeah, we will be next podcast. We should be discussing SeaWorld's Christmas celebration, Lego's Christmas, is it Christmas Spectacular?
Christmas, yeah. Legoland Florida's Christmas Spectacular.
Yeah, so we will have that on the next episode, and we might do something a little bit different too. Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, like I said, I might be taking Jordan, my oldest, to Universal next week, so maybe I'll talk about that, how he managed. I think that's it. You guys listen to, make sure to check out our quote live episode for my appa. It's doing really well. People are really enjoying it. We interview a lot of cool, exciting people from my appa. Dynamic Attractions, Triotech, Legoland
Skyline.
Florida, Skyline Attractions, SNS Worldwide. It's a really cool episode. People are really enjoying it, and I'm glad they are. That was our first attempt at doing something like that, where we kind of venture out of our little normal recording areas here in our offices and wherever Barry's recording. I don't know if he's in a bedroom today or a bathroom.
Yeah, so maybe in the future we might do one where we walk the parks.
Yeah.
And talk and
experiment a little bit more. So
yeah.
Cool. All right. Thanks guys for listening, and we'll see you guys on the next episode.
See you in the parks.